I don't know. It's there. Yes. Greetings and welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Alton, Illinois. My name is Dawn Fortune. I am the interim minister here. I am halftime, and I share my time and my energy and believably my heart with this congregation and the congregation at Emerson UU Chapel in West County, St. Louis. One brief announcement this evening, and that is actually two. This evening's service is going to be lessons and carols. If you are expecting a non-traditional UU Christmas service, you're not going to find it here. We're going to spend a lot of time in the Gospels, and it'll be fun. The second thing is there will be no services here on tomorrow, Sunday, December 25th, or Sunday, January 1st. We resume services at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning on January 8th, and we'd be delighted to see you all there again. That said, welcome. Welcome into this holy space. For any guests who have never attended a Unitarian Universalist service, I want you to know that ours is a faith with no creed or oath to swear. I want you to know that our members believe and pursue a variety of spiritual paths, including Buddhism, paganism, earth-based spirituality, as well as those rooted in science, atheism, and the three Abrahamic faiths. We adhere to a covenant of right relationship and are not bound by any dogma or doctrine. This faith bids welcome to all who would enter seeking truth and spiritual growth and would never presume to tell anyone what that truth might be for them. We gather our wisdom from a variety of sources, including Christianity. Tonight we celebrate the birth story of Jesus of Nazareth, the man the Jews hoped would be king to unite Israel and restore it to glory. The legend of his life, death, and resurrection created an entire new tradition that became known as Christianity. So here on Christmas Eve, we celebrate the birth of the child, Yeshua ben Yosef, who would become known through the ages as Jesus Christ. I invite you to join me in spirit as I light our chalice, as we do at the beginning of each service, bringing light into our midst, when we invite the holy into our hearts. We gather this hour as people of faith, with joys and sorrows, gifts and needs. We light this chalice aflame in the dark of winter, offering a beacon of hope for all who would seek comfort, sanctuary, in celebration of the birth of the Christ child. I invite you to bless this flame with a shared amen. Amen. Our words for the call to worship tonight come to us from United Church of Christ minister Quinn Caldwell. And he writes, "If you came to this place expecting a tame story, you came to the wrong place. If you came for a story that does not threaten you, you came for a different story than the one we will tell. If you came to hear of the coming of a God who only showed up so that you could have a nice day with your loved ones, then you come for a God we do not worship here. For even a regular baby is not a tame thing, and goodness that cannot threaten complacency and evil is not much good at all, and a God who would choose to give up power and invincibility to become an infant for you certainly didn't do it just so you could have dinner. But if you came because you think that unwed teenage mothers are some of the strongest people in the world, if you came because you think that the kind of people who work third shift doing stuff you'd rather not do might attract an angel's attention before you, snoring comfortably in your bed, would, if you came because you think there are wise men and women to be found among undocumented travelers from far lands and that they might be able to show you God, If you came to hear a story of tyrants trembling while heaven comes to peasants, if you came because you believe that God loves the animals as much as the people and so made them the first witnesses to the saving of the world, if you came for a story of reversals that might end up reversing you, if you came for a tale of adventure and bravery where strong and gentle people win and the powerful and violent go down to dust, where the rich lose their money but find their lives and the poor are raised up by kings like kings, if you came to be reminded that God loves you too much to leave you unchanged, if you came to follow the light even if it blinds you, if you came for salvation and not safety, then, my friends, you are in the right place. Come, let us worship. There will be a lot of up and down tonight. I'm calling it a tribute to my Catholic upbringing. So at this point, I invite you to rise in body or spirit and join in singing our first hymn, O Come Emmanuel. All of the hymns will be in your order of service. And some of them are in the very traditional language that might be unfamiliar to you use. So read ahead. You may be seated. I don't normally do this during a worship service, but my glass of water has spilled. I'm pretty sure it didn't go down the outlet, but it would be helpful if it could be refilled.
And some paper towels.
Yeah, maybe. This isn't the baptism part of the year. Comes in the, I don't know, it comes in the spring, I think, yeah. We shall soldier on. Our first reading this evening comes from the Hebrew text, the prophet Isaiah. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. I invite you now to rise again in body or spirit and join in singing our next hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Our second reading comes from the Gospel according to Luke. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said unto the angel, How can this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I invite you to rise in spirit, body or spirit again, and join in singing our next hymn, O Holy Night. It covers 3 pages in your order of service. Our next reading is from the Gospel according to Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him into a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I invite you now to rise again in body or spirit and join in singing our next hymn, Away in a Manger, which covers two pages. The third verse is on the third page, so... Please be seated. Now, it is traditional in many congregations that a special collection is made on Christmas Eve to support the minister's discretionary fund. This fund is money that I can use to help out people in need, whether that be through buying grocery cards, bus passes, or paying their light bill so the power does not get shut off. The fund starts out with a small amount in it each year, but never enough to meet all the needs of the people who approach seeking assistance. Your contribution tonight will help support the mission of this congregation to do justice and bring compassion and mercy in the world. The offering will now be gratefully received. Thank you. As the interim minister of this congregation, I thank you for your offering that will help me promote our shared values in this community. Will you bless this money with me with a shared amen? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Our next reading is from the Gospel according to Luke. This is the one that is most familiar. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. I invite you now to rise in body or spirit and join in singing Once in Royal David's City. Our next reading is from the Gospel according to Luke. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I invite you now to rise again in body or spirit and join in singing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Our next reading is from the Gospel according to Matthew. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I invite you now to rise again in body or spirit and sing "Joy to the World." Our next reading is from the Gospel according to Matthew. And when the wise men were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." I invite you now to stand in body or spirit, and we're going to do the Latin. Any former Catholics? Okay, Episcopalians? All right, we're going to count on you. The rest of you can wiggle through, I'm sure. So we will do the first verse in Latin, and then the refrain. You notice it doesn't have the refrain in English, but the refrain is "Come, let us adore Him." And I think once we get through it once, you'll catch on. You'll remember it. Shall we? Please rise. Was wonderful. Thank you. You didn't do bad with the Latin. You know, when Gabriel shows up, things get strange. There were shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were afraid. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid, I bring you joyful news. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The angel of the Lord first appeared to peasants, to shepherds in the deep of night, to tell them the good news of Jesus' birth. The shepherds trembled, but Gabriel said to them what he says so many times through the scriptures, "Be not afraid, I bring you good tidings." Now, it is not difficult to imagine that an apparition of heavenly hosts, such as Gabriel and his friends, appearing in the pitch dark of a Middle Eastern hillside would make shepherds quake. The apparition of Gabriel was significant in itself, but the news he brought was something much more profound. The prayers of generations of Hebrew people were answered that night in the birth of a child. The shepherds went to visit the baby and worshiped him and became the first to spread the word of hope in those dark days of Caesar Augustus and his henchman Herod. Israel was divided at that time into north and south, the 12 tribes scattered and competing amongst one another. A succession of Roman emperors sent soldiers to occupy the land and keep the locals under control. Their rule was brutal and final. The Jews were oppressed and occupied, forced to work for their oppressors, forced to sing for their captors, and subject to the whims of both emperor and his middle management henchmen, like Herod, who was the Rome-approved king or governor of the region. Now, as sometimes happens with middle management henchmen, Herod was insecure and power-hungry. He liked being in charge, and Caesar mostly left him to manage things on his own. So he plundered as he liked, and as long as he paid to Caesar what Caesar demanded, he was allowed to do what he liked. When the stars announced the birth of a new king, a king of the Jews, and the Magi came to find him, they stopped to ask Herod where this new king was so they might pay him homage. Herod, it is easy to say, was very displeased by the idea of a new king in town, but he didn't say anything about that. Instead, he instructed the Magi to find the child and then return to tell him where the child was. You know, so he could go say hi, bring a gift. The Jews were desperate for a savior, a hero, a Messiah. That's a whole lot of hope to lay on one little bitty infant born in a barn. And hope in such a tiny child is the very thing that had Herod in a cold sweat. Jews with hope would be impossible to oppress. Jews with a unifying king of their own would challenge his power, his control, and his comfortable life. It was not the tiny Hebrew infant that caused Herod such fear. It was the hope he represented. Herod went to extreme measures to try and stop the child who would become the radical rabbi. In addition to the power of hope to make shepherds quake and tyrants tremble, another lesson in the story of Jesus' birth can be read in the last passage we heard tonight. From the Gospel according to Matthew, there are two bits that I really, really want to look at. And the Magi, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country by another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Sometimes the wisest course of action is to skip out the back. In Buddhism, there is a story that goes like this. A horse is tied to a rail in a narrow lane. The street is crowded and there is little room to pass. The horse is of ill temper and kicks anyone who tries to walk behind it. There are crowds of people on both ends of the street stuck because they cannot get past the horse. The old master turns the corner at the top of the block and begins to walk down the lane. At last, the people say, the master will know how to stop the horse from kicking us. The master looks at the situation, sees the horse, assesses his bad temper, and he turns and walks away and went up to the block, went down the next street and walked there. The people were puzzled. They said, "Why didn't you stop the horse from kicking us?" And he said, "It is the horse's nature to kick. I cannot stop him from doing what is natural. So like water passing by a stone in a stream, I go around the obstacle and keep moving." That lesson plays out here as well. Herod was powerful. Indeed, he had the power of life and death over all who were in his country. And so, rather than fighting Herod, who was far more powerful and capable of doing great damage, the parties of both the Magi and Joseph left by another way. The Magi found a different way home, and Joseph took his family into Egypt until Herod's reign was over. I don't have to draw you a line from this story to 2016. You're smart enough to see the parallels. We are living in perilous times. Totalitarianism and fascism are looming larger today in America than they did in the Germany in the 1930s. We must pick our battles carefully. We must resist hate and work for love. It is who we are. We must agitate for justice. It is what we do. And we must survive. We must live to fight another day. And so there will be times when we will have to go home by another way. The message of hope is so strong, so powerful, so irrepressible and unreasonable that it persists even in the age of Herod. Hope continues now. It lives in our hearts like the glowing star that brought the Magi and the shepherds to the creche where Jesus lay. It will not go out. It will not die. It is what makes us get up each day and go do life. I cannot understand what would make a person want to quash that ember of hope, but I can tell you that it has never been successfully extinguished. Hope glows in our hearts. It is Christmas time. It is the time of the year when Christians remember the story of hope that Jesus' birth represents. In the deepest of winter, it is a time when people are surrounded by the darkness and look for miracles of light. It is also the first night of Hanukkah, the miracle of the oil that lasted. We are in the week of the solstice, when the planet pauses, takes a deep breath, and turns back towards the sun. I want to invite you all to close your eyes for a moment, if you will. I want you to envision a burning flame. I want you to envision the light of a single candle in the dark. Imagine it flickering, but not blowing out. Shelter and protect that flame with your hands or with a glass, and it lives. It lives in each one of us. Now open your eyes and look around. Look around this room. Notice the people. We have all come here tonight to celebrate this story of hope, this story of love that wins over fear and hate, where the meek are raised up. Let us bring that hope with us when we leave tonight and take the light of our love and our hope with us into the world. May it be so, and amen. Now it is time for the annual fire safety talk. This is the part of the Christmas Eve service that makes ministers nervous. To be truth, it makes the building and grounds people nervous too, because carpets. It's the passing of the candlelight. Now in a moment, I will light my candle from the chalice. And I will step down and I will light the candle of the first people in that row and the first people over here, and then you are to pass it back to each other, okay? Now, there's a special way to do this so we don't light ourselves on fire and we don't drip wax on ourselves or each other or the carpet. When we light candles, the lit candle stays upright. The not lit candle goes like this and catches the flame and then goes like this and doesn't tip anymore, okay? Because you don't want this wax all over your hands and your clothes and the carpet and all that stuff, okay? Or we don't burn the historic building, please, okay? Now, before we get to this, the board members who are with us this evening are hosting a reception in the parlor after worship. You're invited to do that. Now, I am not going to say anything after we're done singing. When we finish Silent Night, I will blow out my candle. You can do the same. And then we can leave. So I will say my benediction now. Let us leave here tonight at the end of our last shared carol, having extinguished our candles, but not the flame of truth and love and justice that burns within us. Let us bring that flame with us out into the night that we may illuminate the world. Let us share one final amen. Amen. Okay. You play, and I will let us know when we're going to sing, because flames and singing is just tricky. To the side and pass it back. No dripping wax. I'll get them. Got it? Merry Christmas. I invite you to rise in body or spirit. Try not to set your programs on fire. And when it comes around, let us begin.